Will any alternates please come forward and sign in? Any alternates? No, that's okay. No, to sign in. You did? Okay, we don't have quorum yet. We're one short, so I'm not going to call the meeting to order, but I will ask you, the last semester, I started out the meeting by not calling quorum and asking you that the Senate is still looking for a potential chair for the next year, and the next year with us would start, I think it's May 12th. So if anybody is interested, please see me or see Phyllis in the Senate office. You know, we're about 3 months away from the time we have to elect a new chair. No one really has come forward. I've had a few people asking me questions about it. One of the questions, for instance, yes, whoever becomes the chair, there is release time from classes. So this is one of the things that are built in to the position. Another question that I had, someone asked me, is wisdom a good quality to be the chair of the Senate? And I told him, absolutely, wisdom is a wonderful quality. As a matter of fact, my two predecessors, Bobby Brody and Dean Savage, were both very, very wise. But that's not the only quality that could use. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of other qualities that would be ideal for the Senate. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to boast, but probably my best quality, and I'm going to describe it to you first before I tell you what it is. Right outside the library, on the south side, there's a big pothole. And I stepped in that pothole 3 times. By the 4th time, I went right around it. No problem. My outstanding quality is perseverance. And that's what I brought to the Senate. Please, any and all qualities will be useful to chair the Senate. So think about it. And again, I repeat, please get in touch with either me or Phyllis in the Senate office, and we'll take it from there. We have a quorum. Okay, we have a quorum. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. And anyone who has anything to add, please go to the mic.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to add under new business, the University Faculty Senate election as item B, and I ask for unanimous consent.
All in favor of unanimous consent? Okay, motion carries. So item 7B is under new business. Item number 2, the approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of December 7th. Any objections? Okay, seeing none then, unanimous consent. Item number 3, announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. Let's start out with the memorials.
Kevin Ferguson, Department of English. I'd like to read a memorial. It is with deep regret that I announce the passing of Professor Joyce Warren, a longtime member of the Department of English at Queens College. Joyce Warren has been a valued teacher in the English department since 1981, first as an adjunct instructor, and since 2001 as a full-time professor, receiving tenure and promotion to full professor in 2006. Joyce also served since 2001 as director of the Women's and Gender Studies program, a position she loved and which she filled with conviction and vigor. She was a specialist in 19th century American literature and women's studies, and she's the author of 3 monographs, Women, Money, and the Law, Fanny Fern, an independent woman, and The American Narcissus, Individualism in Women in 19th Century American Fiction. In addition, she's the editor of Fanny Fern's Ruth Hall and Other Writings, and is editor or co-editor of several collections of essays: Women and Genocide, Survivors, Victims, Perpetrators, Feminism and Multiculturalism, How Do They, We Work Together, Challenging Boundaries, Gender and Periodization, and last, The Other American Traditions, 19th Century Women Writers. Joyce will be sorely missed by her colleagues and friends in English and Women's Studies and across the college. She is survived by her children and her husband, Frank Warren, retired chair and faculty member of the History Department, and someone that we all know well. So I ask the Senate to rise for a moment of silence.
Thank you very much. Please be seated.
I'm Mark Hansen Cartwright from Music. On December 31st, 2017, my esteemed colleague Maurice Perez, professor of conducting in the Aaron Copland School of Music, passed away at the age of 87. Maestro Perez was professor of music at Queens College from 1984 until his death. Throughout his tenure at Queens, he was music director and conductor of the Queens College Orchestra and also conducted countless performances of opera and choral music. He was a cornerstone of the School of Music. He was a musician of diverse talents and interests. He trained first as a trumpeter and later as a conductor. In 1961, he was selected by Leonard Bernstein as an assistant conductor with the New York Philharmonic. Many years later at Queens College, he established the MA degree program in conducting, a program which has nurtured many talents, including Professor James John, now professor of music and director of choral activities at Queens. Professor Perez had a lifelong interest in jazz, particularly the music of Duke Ellington, the legendary bandleader and composer. Perez worked with Duke Ellington and later wrote about that experience and others in two books. The first, a scholarly book titled Dvorak to Duke Ellington in 2004, and the second, a memoir titled Maverick Maestro in 2015. Among the highlights of Maestro Perez's career was his conducting of the premiere of Bernstein's monumental theatrical work, Mass, at the opening of the Kennedy Center in 1971, and that's a work which he revived at Queens College in 2014 to great acclaim. Professor Perez will be deeply missed by his family and colleagues, and the great void caused by his passing will be difficult to fill.
Can I ask everyone to please stand for a moment of silence? Thank you very much. Any further announcements? Please come to the mic.
I'm Alex Reichel from Political Science. I just wanted to call everybody's attention to an article in the Clarion in which Queens College is called out specifically for the lack of diversity among our student population, particularly the underrepresentation of black students, and not only for the lack of diversity, but for the lack of efforts to do anything about it. It's something that I notice in classes where I find that I don't hear the voices and perspectives of all students that we should have. So I don't know what we should do about it, but it did seem like something of a call to action to put that on people on the agenda, and something to be thinking about. So
I wanted to speak on something else, but I didn't quite understand what the gentleman just said about lack of diversity. So could you outline that, please, again?
Actually, the article, he was referring to an article that was in the most recent Clarion.
Yeah.
Which is, the Clarion's available on campus and I think at the PSC website. I just wanted to state that there will be a response from the administration that will be distributed within shortly.
Okay.
Okay.
Can Councilor Grace, could you describe what was said in the Clarion? Give an outline of it.
I think they talked about the declining amount of minority students, specifically African Americans, at Queens College. So again, there'll be a response from the administration that will be distributed at some point.
I frankly didn't notice it, a decline in representation by minorities. I mean, I think we have a huge number of minorities at this college, and I'd be very surprised if there was some reason involving hostility which would cause a reduction in numbers of Hispanic or African American students. And I would just find it surprising if we were in any way involved in prejudicial behavior. It's just totally mind-boggling to even conceive of that. Okay, but what I wanted to talk about before the gentleman spoke is I wanted to hear about the subcommittee on honorary degrees. Are we up to that?
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right.
As a matter of fact, it'll be the next item unless there are more announcements. Okay, so then let's go to item 3A, Subcommittee on Honorary Degree Nominees, informational only. The three names that are written here are three people that were approved by the Subcommittee on Honorary Degrees. What ended up happening was, between our last meeting in December, which was December 7th, and now, we did not have time to get those names to the Board of Trustees for approval. So, the Academic Senate Executive Committee, acting under bylaw number 25C, we took up that proposal from the Subcommittee on Honorary Degrees, and the Executive Committee voted the three people in. What that did was then we could send it back, I think it was the middle of January, just before the Martin Luther King holiday, just pick January 15th, and we sent that to the board. The board approved it, and as a matter of fact, the second person, Christina Jimenez Moretta, is going to be the speaker at graduation.
Right. So only one was approved, or all three were approved?
All three were approved.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the college has to use all three. What happens is they go into a honorary degree bank. One person that I know is in there now who has not been able to come here is Carol King. And what happens is the people stay in that bank,
right.
And I think the only way out is the route, for instance, that Pete Seeger took when he died, then he got off that list.
Say that again. Wait. Give me that Pete Seeger thing. What did Pete Seeger do?
Pete Seeger, at some point, and I'm not sure which Senate it was, I don't remember, was voted for an honorary degree,
right.
But because one reason or another, you know, he couldn't get down to New York City, whatever, he never came to receive an honorary degree, but he was on the list, as I said, as is Carol King right now.
Right. Could somebody give a brief description of the qualifications of the three people mentioned here, Jill Barrett, Christina Jimenez Moretta, and John Favreau? Is there anyone who could tell us why they were nominated for honorary degrees? Anyone here who could do that?
What ended up happening was, as I said, it was approved by the subcommittee, and I have the three resumes, if you will, on all three people here. I think it's kind of long for us to, or for me to read it. I'll be happy to share all three of them with you. Ron, when you're finished, if you want to leave them up here, and anyone else who wants to look at Christina Jimenez Moretta, John Favreau, or Jill Barrett is welcome to come up and look at it. It was just a lot of material that, in a sense, the Senate no longer had a vote on because that vote had been taken by the Executive Committee. Ron? Run if you want. Any other announcements?
I just wanted to make a comment on the honorary degree nominees. I think that one of them has her name spelled incorrectly. I believe it's Christina without an H. So you might want to check that.
No H in Christina? Okay. Thank you. It's editorial. We'll fix that. Maybe she put in that H to try to avoid the Trump administration, right? Okay, we'll consider that editorial. Any further announcements? Okay, if there are no further announcements, let's go on to item 3B. The person that's the guest speaker today is someone you know very well. She has been up here a lot of times talking about different items, but this is the first time in at least 3.5 years that she is the guest speaker. So this is, we want to welcome her, and I've got to say, in my 2 years as acting chief librarian, I interacted with her constantly, and as chair of the Senate, I also interact with her a lot, and she has really been very, very good with us and working out a lot of the things in this shared governance structure. So I have the pleasure of introducing to you, you all know her, the Provost Elizabeth Henry.
So in thinking about what to, there are a lot of topics that could have been covered by the here at the Senate, and I'm happy to answer questions on any areas at the end. But what I thought I'd focus on today is a couple of different initiatives that we are pursuing to try and increase student success. And so I thought I'd focus on these. Now, goal one of our strategic plan is to facilitate student success. If we look at the 2017-18 strategic plan priorities, I'll talk about two of those today. One is supporting the transfer student transition, and the second is improving the graduate student experience. So, in addition to these priorities in our strategic plan, we're also working within CUNY's strategic framework, which also has a goal of improving student success, specifically to increase retention and graduation rates CUNY-wide. And specifically, so they've engaged all of the CUNY schools that have undergraduates in an academic momentum campaign with the goal of increasing, as I say, graduation rates. But specifically, they've asked us to focus on a couple of different areas. One is gateway courses. The goal would be that at least 78% of the freshmen that matriculate in fall 2019 will have completed a gateway math course by the end of their first year after matriculation. And the current baseline, just to give you a comparison, is 73%. So we're in pretty good shape, but we could do more. Why is this important? Because the studies do show that students who successfully complete both gateway math and English courses, and math I use more broadly, it is actually math and quantitative reasoning, so it's not just in the math department, it may be in a number of departments, are much more likely to succeed. Secondly, looking at the freshman composition course, at least 90% of the freshmen in 2019 will complete the first freshman composition course, and our baseline is 82%. So again, we're doing well, but we could do better. And I think one thing that's been interesting about this is that in looking at it, I think it gets us to say, all right, first of all, who's not taking these courses? Why aren't they taking them? Are they, you know, let's say, putting off a math course because they're worried about it? Also, To what extent are people taking them and not passing them? You know, what can we say about these students? So I think these are good goals in that it improves student success, and I think also delving into the data, and we're working with Cheryl Lippman, our Dean of Institutional Effectiveness, to do that, to try and understand not just the overall rates, but where these rates are coming from and how it can allow us to focus our efforts. The next goal has to do with completion of credits. And again, credit accumulation, because of the way financial aid is structured, the QCN4 guarantee, the Excelsior scholarship, it's very important that students complete 30 credits a year if they're going to graduate in 4 years, as is a requirement, for example, of both QCN4 and Excelsior. Although the New York State Tuition Assistance Plan kicks in at only 12 credits, it only covers 8 semesters, and if you do the math, a student will not get through, they will exhaust their New York financial aid. So I think it is very important to try and find ways that students can take 15 credits a semester. If something happens so that they don't get 15 credits in the academic year, that we use winter, summer. Students often come in with credits from high school, so those can help as well, but it is an important goal. And our current baseline, so we want 62% of freshmen to successfully complete 30 credits. The current baseline is 53%, and that's as of 2015, and we've actually already made good progress on this. I believe that it was almost 75% of our incoming freshmen this fall enrolled for 15 credits. So we have already been taking steps even in advance of the CUNY campaign because of our strategic plan, and we have already made progress on that. And then the goal 4, all undergraduate majors will be fully mapped by first-time freshmen and publicly available for students, advisors, and faculty. We're at about 70%, but most of the major programs are. We're continuing to develop additional maps. And colleges should create two-year maps for transfer students who have completed the associate degree. Now, again, because we put the QCN4 guarantee in place, and for that we created degree maps for almost all of the majors, we were in good shape in advance of this, so we can then move on to adjusting the degree maps and focusing on completing the ones that are missing and also the two-year degree maps. So we've created an academic momentum team, consists of me, Vice President Alvarez, Ava Fernandez, Cheryl Lippman, as I mentioned, Dean of Institutional Effectiveness, AVP for, I asked June what her title is, I hope I got it right, it's, Enrollment and Student Retention, June Bob, Laura Silberman, our Director of Advising. We've brought in faculty from English and Math to help us with the Gateway courses. And then we have an Academic Affairs Enrollment Management Advisory Committee. Because there is so much overlap between the two areas in terms of guiding students, we've formed a committee that has enrollment management staff, academic affairs staff, and selected deans and faculty to try and look at cross-functional areas. Just to give you an example of the things we're doing as part of this campaign, we've formed a Queens Borough Affinity Group, which will kick off on March 9th, bringing together York College, Queensborough, LaGuardia, and Queens to look at transfer issues and issues that cross campus lines. We will be expanding FYI to all freshmen, all entering freshmen, and all of those will get English 110. Right now it's a large percentage, but it's not all. We'll try and create multiple versions of degree maps to address needs of students who enter with varying course placements, math being maybe the most obvious one, where one student might already have calculus, another student might need to take several courses, and it's going to affect the sequencing of what they take. And also, the maps might be different depending on what a student wants to do with a major. So there are various tracks within majors, and we may want to look at students' long-term goals. And the goal ultimately would be to have dynamic degree maps that would adapt as students make different choices and show them what the optimal path is and how they can get through expeditiously. And then preparing 2+2 degree maps for students who come in with the associate's degree. And what we'll have to do here, because we have a lot of transfers from a lot of places, is to prioritize the largest transfer majors, so the largest feeder schools and the largest majors, and then work from there. In addition, we have an HSI STEM grant funded by the Department of Education, $5 million five-year grant, and we are working with mathematics faculty at both Queensboro and Queens to redesign Math 115 and Math 122 and their QCC equivalents. Our new QC and 4 program has its own academic momentum campaign called Earn, Plan, Complete, and this echoes the messaging of the CUNY academic campaign, stressing the importance of keeping on track in terms of credit accumulation for success, for minimizing debt, for taking full advantage of financial aid. Okay, now the second thing that I'd like to talk about, or actually I'm going to turn to Dean Wolf to talk about today, and that is another priority in the strategic plan is to improve the graduate student experience. So as part of the Middle State self-study, for the first time, we engaged in a graduate program review, which Dean Wolf led, and this year he is working to implement some of the recommendations of the graduate program review, and so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so move on here. Last year, perhaps some of you in this room participated in this, but we conducted a full review of all graduate programs, composed a report which we gave to the president, the provost, shared with the deans, shared with Manning, the academic senate, also the P&B committee, and then distributed widely across the college. So a number of you are perhaps familiar with this, but if you're not, here are the recommendations that came out. Establish graduate council, unified administrative leadership of graduate education, graduate dean perhaps, then training and supporting graduate directors, academic distinctiveness and career readiness of the graduate programs is probably the area where the faculty are currently now looking and digging in the most. It'll require the most work. Enhancing graduate student engagement. Brand identity and marketing of our graduate programs. This is something I'm happy to report is underway with Jay Hershenson's office. We'll get to that in a moment. Recruitment strategies that are more successful in attracting our own students and also students outside Queens College and CUNY to our graduate programs. Using data to inform and track our progress in all of this, and particularly for the graduate directors as they manage their programs. And then lastly, to develop online workflow processes so that graduate students and faculty and all involved can really streamline and make more efficient and make more user-friendly, really, all the transactions that graduate students in particular have to conduct. The ideal, really, to have it all be able to be done on a mobile device. All right, here's where we are since those recommendations were made last July. We had our inaugural meeting of the Graduate Council in December. There are two more scheduled this semester. Faculty that attended in December and the recent communication, there is work that in these areas that they're engaging in, particularly curricular review and reform, and also some exciting accelerated graduate degrees, which I'll get to in a moment. We also have talked about other ways in which to organize this format of how graduate education can work in a more institutionally, you know, continuous way, and certainly we'll be in close consultation with the Academic Senate and the College P&B Committee as this goes forward. This is purely just advisory at this point. Then currently in terms of leadership, myself and Bill McClure are kind of the two-headed graduate dean, if you will, handling these matters. And so we're working together to put these into place. Training graduate directors, we're going to be seeking input from them on the kinds of needs they have, and also benchmarking with the Council of Graduate Studies and others where established programs for training and providing support for graduate directors already in place. What can we learn from those? Enhancing distinctiveness and career readiness. This, again, as I mentioned, this is for the faculty with graduate degrees or ones that contemplate graduate degrees. This is really the area where really a lot of the work is done. We spent most of our first meeting going over this, looking at ways of providing more support for graduate degree development or revision, developing these accelerated programs, which I'll get to in a moment, and also working with the new Director of Career Services to build in career pathways and connections for graduate students and services that hitherto they never really have gotten from the Career Center. Also, we have, in terms of engagement, there's a study being done by a sociology class that's conducting a survey with focus groups to canvas graduate students to get their input on the issues that matter to them and have that inform what we do. So that report should be completed by the end of the spring semester. In terms of these accelerated graduate degrees, this is probably the initiative this spring that we're really pushing on the most. They are akin to what you might be familiar with as BA, MA, or dual degrees. And what they are designed is that students who are eligible, as determined by the departments, you know, minimally by what we have in the graduate bulletin for admission to a graduate program, can begin work on a graduate degree in their junior year and do up to 12 credits of graduate work as a junior or senior, credits which can apply to their undergraduate major and be paid for by their tuition, Pell Grant or whatever might be paying it, and that when they complete their degrees and get their conferral of their BAs or BS degrees, will then segue directly into the graduate programs, applying those 12 credits towards the graduate degree, so effectively double dipping, and thus accelerating their time to degree and drastically reducing also the costs by 30 to 40% for our graduate degrees. So Bill and I and the faculty involved with graduate programs, we are developing these pathways to these accelerated tracks. We probably have, I don't know if Bill's here, maybe a dozen or so now that we've gotten feedback from the faculty and we're going to be setting them up. And our goal is to begin enrolling students in these this spring for the fall. So we are really excited. We're hoping that in time more will develop. We'll have lots of pathways for our students and also eventually for talented transfer students. So this is a really, I think, really great way to enhance the experience of our undergraduates and open up great opportunities for them. So we have a website we're developing, which can make this available to Manny if you want to check it out. Again, the faculty involved in this already have access to it. Lastly here, as I mentioned, brand identity and marketing. Our communications and marketing office is working with a consulting firm to develop a marketing plan, social media driven, again informed eventually by this survey we're doing, so we can really know what people are looking for, get the word out about our degrees, and really try to attract talented students to Queens College. These recruitment strategies, we're in conversation now about looking at perhaps hiring a director of graduate admission, which I think is a critical piece in this, to work with the faculty, to recruit students, and also to help faculty understand the kinds of roles, really highly effective roles they can play in recruiting graduate students. And that's it. So thank you.
And Michael and I would be happy to answer questions on the presentation or, as I said, on other topics that may be of concern.
Hi, I have some questions. Ron Rothenberg, Math Department. Provost Hendry, you were at the beginning of your talk, you described gateway courses in math. What among the math courses we offer here are considered gateway courses?
I would say, and I'm looking at Laura, so it would be any course that, from my mind, satisfies the math and quantitative reasoning requirement within Pathways. Many of them would be within the mathematics department, but there are other courses outside math that are so designated. And it's going to depend on the major as to what that first math and quantitative reasoning course would be, as well as their background. And Laura, do you want to speak to that?
Well,
she's right behind you.
Silverman, Academic Advising. Absolutely, it's those courses that fulfill the math and quantitative reasoning requirement of Pathways, as well as those courses that are precursors, i.e. prerequisites, to move forward in majors that do require advanced mathematics.
I'm assuming that our Math 115, which is algebra for pre-calculus, and Math 122, which is pre-calculus, would qualify as
yes.
Gateway courses. What about Math 110, our general purpose liberal arts math course? Would that qualify?
Yes, it would, because it fulfills the math and quantitative reasoning requirement.
But it's going to be very important that an individual student is advised depending on what their plan of study is. So it could be any one of a number of courses. It depends on their background and what's appropriate.
Okay. Another thing I was wondering about, pertaining to your comments, Provost Hendry, is you mentioned a redesign of Math 115, which is algebra for pre-calculus, and for Math 122, which is pre-calculus. So you were talking about a redesign of those courses. I'm wondering, what type of redesign are you thinking of? And if there were to be such a redesign, would the math department have input in these courses? Just making a comment briefly now about the courses as they currently exist, neither course is controversial. Neither course, either Math 115, algebra for pre-calculus, or Math 122, which is pre-calculus, neither course has been considered to be controversial in recent years, to my knowledge.
These are among courses that we have identified as having very high rates of so-called DDEFWI, drop, fail, DU fail, withdraw, or incomplete. So in other words, or students repeating the courses. And so I'm not talking, this is part of the HSI STEM grant. We're doing this across the STEM curriculum. It'll be looking at not so much the content of the course, I think, is how they're delivered, what support mechanisms are offered with a goal of increasing the success rates. And I see Jen Vallott, who is involved with the grant, and if you'd like, I'd welcome her to speak to it.
I'm going to say Manny invited me, but I speak in April.
Oh, perfect.
So we're going to talk about that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Just a brief comment. How to improve success in these courses, meaning how to increase the number of passing grades, C minus and above. Well, we could just lower the standards. That's one thing one could do. Hopefully there will not be too much pressure on the math department to do that. That would be extremely foolish. Another thing we could insist upon is that the students entering such courses have better qualifications in mathematics. Now, I'm aware from my own participation that there has been a lowering of math standards in the K through 12, particularly in the high schools, starting in the 1980s, which I felt led to a decrease in ability of our entering Queens College students to be able to do mathematics. So it seems to me that the corrections would have to be applied then, that is, at an earlier level, because any pressure on the math department to increase grades by some weird or nefarious technique, such as just increasing grades through the means of lowering standards, I would be an extreme objection to.
Well, let me say, first of all, as you've heard, you will hear more about the specifics of this in April. Let me assure you, I have no intention of asking the math department to reduce its standards. It is instead suggesting different ways that we may approach teaching the classes, providing support for the classes, so that with the same standards, students master the material at higher rates.
Bill Blanford, Earth Environmental Sciences. I just wanted to learn more about the accelerated masters, and because we're interested in that, but one of the immediate questions that everybody would have is, are these double counting?
Yes. That's the whole point.
That's the beauty of them. They double count and reduce the number of credits subsequently the students have to do for the masters because of the double count.
Is that a problem with accreditation, though, or no?
No,
not at all. This, in fact, grew out of a submission for a dual degree program to Albany last year that was returned to us because, basically, Steve, you may remember this, that they said, you're not changing either the baccalaureate program or the master's program. You're free to let them overlap however you wish. We have no interest in looking at them unless you're changing both programs, which you weren't. And none of this changes the integrity of the programs. They just overlap. And then CUNY Central said, we're not interested in looking at it either. So now we have the in-house ability to create these, which infinitely makes it quicker. That's why we're starting to do it this spring. A lot less red tape, and hopefully a lot greater student success and more enrollment in our graduate.
So the idea is that these are students who the department decides is capable of taking on graduate work at the undergraduate level, and it does not just have to be from a BA to an MA in the same department. It may also be that a student that you match up one undergraduate major with a different master. So there are a lot of interesting possibilities, and we just need to have a way whether the classes are part of a major, a minor, or general electives, they count towards their 120 credits, but that knocks 12 credits off the graduate degree, and it also means 12 credits taken at undergraduate rates rather than graduate rates, so it both accelerates the time to the master's and decreases the cost. So we think that for those students who are able to do this, we think it's a big benefit, and we would like to see quite a bit of this. These days, in many, many fields, you need a master's to really succeed in a career, and this will enable our students to do this more easily.
Is there a report or something like that, some directions for us to read and send?
It's gone out to all the departments that have graduate programs, so you might want to talk to Greg and folks. I'm sure they've had it and are developing the pathway they have. The other thing I would say is that the other work that the faculty are doing, and even departments without graduate degrees, in terms of like MOOC programs, certificates, and we want to try to build in more options for students, more ways that students can customize their graduate program to their particular goals. And so I think it's really exciting, and I think the faculty that are in our graduate council, we're going to really get a lot of great work done.
Manny Sanudo, Library. Should we be expecting much larger enrollments this summer in both semesters than what we had in the past?
I hope so, and I will say registration started on Tuesday, and as of Wednesday, we already had 18% of the total enrollment that we had last year. So one data point, but it does certainly suggest that we've advertised summer much more extensively. We have typically our enrollment date for summer was the same as for fall, which was a couple of weeks behind the rest of CUNY. We're now a couple of weeks ahead of the rest of CUNY. There's been extensive advertising both here but also outside to try and reach visiting students who may want to take classes during the summer. So yes, I think so. And plus we're giving students who buy parking just for the summer free parking.
Free parking.
Yeah.
And the new summer section.
Yeah, we have also, although it's a fair limited offerings, but we have also introduced a 10-week summer session so that we have now a 4-week and then a 6 or a 4, combining the 4 and the 6 to make a 10-week summer session for mathematics courses, science courses, any kind of course that might be too intense to offer in the regular short summer sessions.
Another great thing too about it is the revenue share, that the additional revenue that a department generates through summer, some portion of it will come back to that department as part of their OTPS. So that's also a great incentive really for departments to really be trying to boost their enrollments.
Thank you.
I want to thank the provost and the dean. Thank you very much. Okay, the next item on the agenda, there are no special motions, so we go to item number 5, committee reports. First one up is the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
I'd like to move the minutes of the December 7th, 2017 Undergraduate Curriculum Committee and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
Item 5B, this is the Graduate Curriculum Committee.
Hello, I'd like to move the minutes of the November 29, 2017 Graduate Curriculum Committee and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, it passes. Brace yourself. I'm told that the next time around, we will make up for just half a page on the Graduate Curriculum Committee. So, next time around. The Nominating Committee report.
Sarah Wolf on behalf of Marion Fish, who asks for unanimous consent on this slate.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. There is no old business. Let's go to item 7A, which is the Academic Senate schedule for the fall 2018 and spring 2019. Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, this will be the calendar for next academic year. Item 7B, University Faculty Senate elections. Okay, we have 5 openings for Queens College University Faculty Senate. This can only be done by nominations from the floor. Only faculty can vote. Are there any more nominations? I have Michael Nelson from the Art Department.
Jack Zevin from Secondary Education. There's still three more openings. The new term will begin mid-May, and it will go from 2018 May till, hey, a long time off, 2021. Oh, that's a discouragement. If there's no objections, unanimous consent. Okay, passes. Thank you very much. See you in a month.